Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter for over 1,500 straight weeks, longer than Monday Night Raw has been on the air. I've been covering professional wrestling full-time, reporting on Raw since the very beginning, and many reports on WWE television and pay-per-views before Raw was a thing, and long before SmackDown was a thing, and you can read all of those reports on Raw and SmackDown and Nitro and ECW and more by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Our full archives are available, over 1,500 back issues, almost all of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletters over the last nearly 30 years are available instantly when you become a VIP member. Comb through the archives, PDFs, and text editions of the newsletters to learn about wrestling history, see what we had to say in real time as we covered wrestling. Wrestling industry, big twists and turns in the industry, major happenings, tragedies and triumphs, all covered in the back issues. It is one of many perks that comes with a VIP membership. We hope that you'll consider becoming a VIP member if you haven't yet, or returning if for some reason you were and had to step away from your membership. The place to go sign up is pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Thanks for joining me today. If you're listening live, welcome to the show. SmackDown just went off the air with Jinder Mahal yapping on and on, celebrating, gloating about his victory over Randy Orton by pinfall with a Cobra Clutch slam after interference and chaos in the six-man tag. It was a pretty standard finish pretty standard six-man tag match considering who was involved. Sami Zayn predictably took the majority of the beating. Eventually, hot tag Styles. Styles made a furious comeback, but the heels eventually overwhelmed him. He eventually hot tagged Orton, who had done almost nothing in the match up to that point, as even noted by Tom Phillips, the play-by-play announcer. And then some chaos broke out, and thanks to the Singh brothers creating a distraction, it put Randy at a disadvantage that eventually helped Jinder Mahal come up behind Randy after Randy actually gave an RKO to Owens. And Jinder gave him a Cobra Slam for the victory. This show was taped earlier in London. We had results, spoilers up earlier today at pwtorch.com, our main website, featuring my live coverage of Raw and SmackDown and WWE pay-per-views and breaking news. We had Raw ratings up earlier today, some details on another drop in the ratings for Raw back to where they were in the sub-2.0 level. They were in that range for 8 out of 10 weeks, I believe, is what I reported in the Raw report earlier today on pwtorch.com. 8 out of 10 weeks this fall, they were under 2.0. They're now 2 weeks in a row under 2.0 once again. So that was reported on pwtorch.com. My SmackDown Live report with analysis was also there. So if you want to read what I had to say about this show, all the segments, you can check that out. Also on the show, we had another confrontation between Dolph Ziggler and Shinsuke Nakamura. This one went better than the last one. We can talk about that on today's program. Also, a match that we didn't really know why it was happening, but Eric Rowan beat Luke Harper in about 4 minutes. I guess an upset win. Tom Phillips said, another chapter written in this rivalry. Did we even know it was a rivalry? I mean, they have a history, but is it a rivalry? And then we have some hints that maybe Charlotte isn't babyface after all. She held back Naomi at ringside from going after the heels. She explained it was to keep her from getting Becky Lynch disqualified in her one-on-one match with Natalya. That led to some shouting between Naomi and Charlotte acting heelish as Becky tried to unite them in time for their six-woman tag team match coming up in 12 days. And we know it's in 12 days because the Usos in their promo said 12 days. About 17 times, that's my over-under. I didn't count. If someone counted, let me know. And we also had a Jinder Mahal promo that led to, or Randy Orton promo that led to Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn all getting involved. That's what set up the six-man main event tag match. Also, Breezango beat The Ascension, followed that by The Usos cutting a promo, saying that they would teach Breezango at Backlash in 12 days that they are not championship material. So, and we also had Mojo Rawley giving a lesson to kids about bullying and referencing his Andre the Giant Battle Royal victory. So, a number of things happening on SmackDown. Let's talk about tonight's show and the SmackDown brand at large as we head towards Backlash. Our phone number here at the livecast is 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Tomorrow on the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern, we're going to broaden our range of topics. That's why we call it the flagship. It's where we step away from the particular focus on just Raw or just SmackDown and talk about a broad array of issues in pro wrestling. Sometimes it still is WWE-centric, but tomorrow we're going to get into some other topics too. Andrew Socek makes his midweek livecast debut. You are likely familiar with him because he and Mike McMahon host the PW Torch livecast Thursday nights after Impact. Andrew also does the Impact Wrestling Hits and Misses list for PWTorch.com, and he also has undertaken, along with me, the relaunch of PWPodcasts.com. Many of you listening are not going to that site yet, and I implore you to do so. This is good stuff. It's my favorite wrestling site to go to right now. The quotes every single day, that in-depth recaps that we have of various podcasts is worth checking out. We have quotes in the news column today from X-Pac, who, by the way, will be my guest on Thursday's livecast, on Interview Thursday at 1 Eastern. He was talking today on the Tomorrow Show about why he didn't want to be bailed out from jail, and a touching story on what it's like meeting terminally ill children as their last wish. Also, we're going to be talking more about GLOW in coming weeks as the GLOW drama, scripted drama, heads to Netflix this summer. David McLean doing some interviews. We have quotes from him talking about what it means to him that GLOW is coming to Netflix. And also talks about the Wall promotion and if they will land on Netflix. Stephanie McMahon talks about her evil character, George the Animal Steel, scaring her as a child, and whether she ever considered another line of work, or was she always, in her own mind, destined to be heir apparent to WWE's throne. Well, as Jerry Jarrett told me in a Torch talk in the 1990s, Stephanie McMahon was not shy at all about letting Shane McMahon and the family know she intended to run the company someday, not her older brother, going back to her teen years. Also, AJ Lee talks about life after wrestling, why she decided to write a book, and why she's working on a second book, and it's some interesting quotes there. also, written detailed podcast recaps of friend of the PW Torch livecast, a friend of the livecast, Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, and current host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast, episode 192, issue 192. He calls his podcasts issues. And episode or issue 192 is summarized now on pwpodcast.com with his reaction, his appreciation of the House of Horrors match. I thought it was horrible. Matt McCarthy had some thoughts. Check out what he had to say. Also, Jeff Hardy's lost tooth. And who brought the too sweet hand signal to wrestling? All that. Lillian Garcia interviewed Steve Austin, talking about his walking out on WWE, growing up shy, the advice Vader gave him in WCW, and more. Steve Austin, always fascinating. Check out a detailed written summary of what he had to say with Lillian Garcia on her podcast. Also, Edge and Christian have MMA champ Daniel Cormier as their guest this week. He talks about which wrestlers he'd compare himself to. And some Phil Collins talk also. And a written podcast review of Eric Bischoff, Sam Roberts, Chris Jericho, Bruce Pritchard, Tony Schiavone, Colt Cabana, Jim Ross, Major League Wrestling, and more. So much over at that site. Check it out. Tomorrow, Andrew Socek, as I said, who is helping in a big way get that site up and running with content every day, will be my guest tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the more interesting quotes featured on PW Podcasts over the last week. Some real good conversation starters. That'll be on tomorrow's show. And as I said, X-Pac, Sean Waltman, will be my guest for 1 hour on Thursday. Sean has a lot going on, He's very busy these days, and I look forward to catching up with him. I've known him since I think he was 15 years old or 16 years old, back when he started wrestling in the PWA in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think the first radio interview he ever did was with me on the old KFAN Pro Wrestling Focus radio show. So we'll have him back on the show. He's always a great guest. I really look forward to Thursday's show. Now, our phone number, 515-605-9345. Let's talk SmackDown. And yeah, we got a pay-per-view right around the corner, 12 days away. And what are your thoughts? How's it stacking up? Are you looking forward to it? Let's talk about it. Let's begin with Mike in Boston. Mike, PW Torch Specialist, how you doing?
Hey, Wade. How you doing, Wade? Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, sure can. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind after tonight's show?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I guess I'm disappointed with tonight's show.
And
it was just too bad. Like, there was a couple things I liked. I always try to be a little bit positive, so let's start with that. I thought tonight was pretty strong for Nakamura, because they actually let him do a little bit of the ring. I think they've booked him pretty well overall, like kind of how I thought they should, where they really build him up as something special and not just give him away for free. But I did like that they gave him a little bit, especially coming back from, getting something thrown at him. I think there's still a lot of potential there. And I thought the six-man tag was a lot of fun. Overall, I'm not going to lie, I've got Jinder Mahal in my WWE Fantasy League, so seeing him give me get a clean pin gets me a lot of points, so that's one reason I'm a pretty big fan of that.
That makes sense.
But overall, I thought the show was, I think I tweeted to you that it was like 30 minutes before we got any wrestling at all.
It was a long time, yes. It was a lot of talking. This was not a Dean Ambrose-run episode of Raw with more action, less talking at the beginning of the show. In fact, it took quite a while because the Natalya-Becky Lynch match went 3 minutes. Luke Harper-Eric Rowan went 4 minutes. The Ascension and Breezango went 3 minutes. Those were your three matches before the main event. I mean,
right. That's,
what, 10 minutes of wrestling before the main event began. That's pretty light on action.
And that's right, actually, when you consider that SmackDown is supposed to be the work rate show.
Yeah, I mean, it by happenstance, it's turned out to be that, but I don't know that WWE or Vince McMahon set out to make it the work rate show. I think he just wanted it to be, relatively similar.
Yeah, but I would say that overall, it usually moves at a pretty crisp pace, and they tend to have some pretty solid action, and it tends to be a little bit less sports entertaining just by the nature of not having that extra hour where you have to fill it seems like, with promos and shenanigans and, a whole lot of standing around and doing nothing. And this was an episode with a whole lot of standing around and doing nothing. Last time I think I talked to you, I mentioned how I didn't think the Charlotte face turn made any sense. We said, we'll give it a few weeks, but it's been a few weeks and it just makes no sense. She's not doing anything babyface-ish at all except to stand next to two babyfaces and appear really arrogant. And I don't have a reason to cheer her. So it's just like, it's not what's to this point, it's not working yet.
What if the goal is, or not the goal, but the path that they're on is Charlotte actually turning on Becky and Naomi, that it was a secret plot that where Charlotte was trying to lull them into a false sense of security before turning on them. I mean, there could be maybe a double turn in the mix somewhere to try to even out the sides 3-on-3 again, because they, four strong heels and two strong baby faces might be difficult. But there's a chance that Charlotte actually ends up going heel. That said, I thought they would have done less foreshadowing. I don't know if foreshadowing is a word. Just they would have had Charlotte be a little more over-the-top friendly and babyface-ish if the goal was for her to turn heel, because it's not like them to show their hand so overtly and then have Charlotte turn heel. But maybe they're telling the story in a straightforward way, and Charlotte just can't quite get herself to get along with anybody, and she does ultimately end up staying heel.
Yeah, I just think the problem with that, though, is why are you going to turn on someone if you are going to, when you're facing Naomi in a championship match, why get yourself disqualified or get yourself run in on in that match only to turn heel later on when you have an opportunity at a title. It's just, that would be, I mean, it's definitely a possibility given that this is the WWE, and, you know, WWE logic and real world logic don't make a lot of sense. Right. They don't really meet often. But it's just, that would be just really poor booking. I'm really ticked off. I mean, the Sami Zayn thing tonight backstage was just awful.
Hey, Mike, let me pause for a sec. I assume you have a few more thoughts on the show. I don't do this often, but I want to stay on schedule with breaks. Can you hold your thought on Sammy and continue it right after a break?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. I don't want to get too far behind on my scheduled breaks. Mike from Boston will continue with his thoughts on Sami Zayn right after our first commercial break. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. Got a big UFC card coming up this Saturday night. Loaded lineup, top to bottom. There's not that one single fight that's going to make this a million buy show, which they had several of last year. It just hasn't been that kind of year yet for UFC. But a deep lineup, if you've been only paying, as a casual fan of MMA perhaps, only paying casual attention to UFC. UFC 211 looks to be a show that start to finish. Even some of the prelim fights have some good name value fighters. Eddie Alvarez, for instance. But the main card, heavyweight title fight, women's title fight, some top contender fights. It's a nice lineup. And Matt Echoshart has a full preview of the show up right now over at MMATorch.com. That's our sister site. That's MMATorch.com. Previews, just to get you warmed up and give background on each and every fight, from the Fight Pass prelims to the Fox Sports 1 live show featuring four matches headlined with Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. And then the main card. And like I said, a loaded show. Go check that out. Plus, every single day at MMATorch.com, the Daily News Digest. We'll catch you up on everything happening in MMA. All the top stories and some upcoming fights and injury updates, suspensions, notable quotes, all in one article. You can actually keep up on MMA with one click a day. The Daily News Digest. Exclusively at MMATorch.com. Along with analysis to put those big stories in perspective by Mike Hisko and Cole Henry, who cover those daily news updates for us 7 days a week. Also, flashbacks. We just put up a 2 years ago MMA Torch Roundtable featuring predictions of the Stipe-Mark Hunt match and whether either of them could get into the title picture. And we know that now Stipe is the champion, but it's kind of fun to look back 2 years ago and look at whether our team of contributors thought Hunt or Stipe had a chance to get back to the top of the card. It's been a good 2 years for one of them and kind of frustrating for the other. So we do flashbacks. We just put up actually a 10-year ago flashback a couple days ago featuring Sean Ennis's welterweight division lay of the land. 10 years ago, GSP on the climb up. And Matt Serra rejoicing in his win over GSP, who had knocked him down. Also, Josh Koscheck, Diego Sanchez, John Fitch, all kinds of cool names from the past and some currently active fighters. Plus exclusive columns, Frank Hyden's column, the Media and Business column, and much more. Go check it out. It's MMATorch.com. If you're an MMA fan, casual or hardcore, it should be on your daily reading list. All right, we're back. And Mike from Boston is the first caller of the show, and we're continuing our conversation. Mike, yeah, Sami Zayn, you mentioned him before we went to break. He's a nervous guy, isn't he? He's anxious, and the body language...
He's turned into Woody Allen in Annie Hall.
That's what they're doing, yeah, yeah.
They've turned Sami Zayn into Woody Allen from Annie Hall. And I love Annie Hall. It's one of my all-time favorite comedies, but it's not what I want in professional wrestling. And you took a guy who had a great story in NXT, who is, and I've said this before, he's someone that really pulled me back into pro wrestling from a casual viewer to someone that fell back in love with it again. He still remains tremendously over with the crowd. It's evident that he got one of the biggest reactions throughout the six-man tag throughout the night. And I don't even mind him losing and then getting in a losing streak, and then I think they can eventually pull the trigger on someone like him if he keeps that crowd reaction. But turning him into, like you said, that nervous Nelly, that Nevish, that guy that is annoying to everyone around him and has no idea how annoying he is as they roll their eyes and can't wait to get away from him, it's not a good look. It's not how you build a baby face. I don't understand. You know, and Vince McMahon has more money than he could spend in 50 lifetimes, but you'd think that he doesn't care as much, but you'd think you'd want to get your talent over. And it's a continued problem with the WWE where they no longer care about building stars. They just care about building the brand of the WWE. And that's what you're paying to see. And all of these guys are interchangeable. And it's more about Vince and Kevin Dunn getting their yucks backstage over what they perceive Sami Zayn's real life shortcomings are, rather than looking at a guy and being like, this is a guy that could main event. This is a guy that could pull people in. And it's disheartening to see.
Well, and I'm not, this isn't so much a defense as it is an attempt to explain where Vince and Kevin Dunn come from in their approach. Vince McMahon primarily, Kevin Dunn is a bit of an enabler and certainly someone who has the power of suggestion when it comes to Vince. There's a reason that Kevin Dunn has ended up being his longest consistent confidant who reinforces and coincides with Vince on a lot of things that frustrate us. Not necessarily all of the same things, but a lot of fans get frustrated by certain aspects of Vince and Kevin. With Sammy, Vince is the kind of guy who's going to look at Sami Zayn and go, what is he? Who is he? Oh, he's an underdog? Well, what's that? I can just see Vince sneering. What's that? What do you mean underdog? What does that mean? And then he might pick up on something with Sami Zayn off camera, behind the scenes, or someone else suggests something. And then Vince would be like, that's it. This guy's annoying. He never stops talking. He's insecure. He's nervous. That's his thing. That's going to be his thing. Sammy, that's your thing. You can just see Vince like getting excited about it. And Sammy going, okay, Vince, all right. Whatever you say, you sign the check. So I think in Vince's mind, Sami Zayn in and of itself isn't a thing. One of the reasons people really like NXT, one of them, and people can be down on NXT sometimes too, but one of the things that I think clicks with people when watching NXT in a way that maybe they can't even quite put their finger on is that the NXT approach treats what they do more as a sport. It's more of a sports framework. And in a sports framework, Sami Zayn works great. He's an everyman. He's likable. He's an underdog. He never gives up. That's all it takes in NXT when you have that sports framework and structure in place. That draws. And Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn aren't sports framework guys. They're sports entertainment guys, and they want characters. And I think that's where they're coming from with Sammy. Sammy isn't obviously anything to Vince McMahon. He can't figure it out. So he's found something, he's going to go with it, and a lot of us are kind of groaning and rolling our eyes at it the way that AJ and Orton were tonight on SmackDown when Sammy went off on his nervous pep talk.
Yeah, and you know, I know you're 100% right. Like, intellectually, I know that you're 100% right, and that's how they see it, and that's how they book it. It just doesn't make any sense, and it just, when you go on this big signing spree and you're bringing in talent from all over the world, it might behoove you to watch a little bit of the tape on some of the guys and see what worked and then build on that, you know, rather than get your chucks. Like, you know, Vince McMahon shouldn't be booking his product for Vince McMahon. He should be booking it for the people who, you know, the fans. And I think part of the reason you're seeing this cataclysmic drop in the ratings, and it's not a short-term thing. I mean, we've talked before about how since 2013, they've lost a good one-third of the television audience because people are tuning it out. Now, there's still enough there that I enjoy to keep tuning in every week, but it's going to get harder and harder to do that. There's too many other entertainment options out there. So, you know, if it's just like if you turned, I don't know, Batman into like a roller skating girl, then, you know, people would be like, I'm not going to watch a Batman. That's not why I tuned into Batman. Last point, Wade, really quick, because I know you've got a ton of people on the line. As much as I like the first part of the Usos promo tonight, heels should not be trying to get chants from the crowd. It's not a heel's point to get them to chant along. The whole, like, 12 days thing was such a deliberate attempt to get fans to chant along with it, and that's not what a heel should be doing. They should be kind of attacking the baby faces, putting them down, cutting a promo into why they're going to kick their ass, not having sing along with the champ time.
A great point. I like the Usos promo. I get what you're saying. I don't want them to seem like they're seeking the fans chanting along with them or liking the fans chanting along with them. That said, I thought that the Usos showed, regardless of being heel or face, they showed they have some talking ability. And where has it been all these years? You know, I mean, this is another example.
They definitely do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt Hardy, and the Hardys were underutilized in that regard. The Dudleys, I mean, Bully Ray's one of the great talkers of his generation, underutilized by Vince McMahon. Edge and Christian turned out to be good promos. You know, sometimes you get in a tag team and Vince doesn't want to give you TV time. Your gimmick is that you're a tag team. You don't need more character development. I mean, look at the Ascension. Tonight, we got more character development with the Ascension than we have in however long they've been around, a year plus, on tonight's show. And it wasn't much. It was just Breezango hearing a ruckus behind a door during their fashion police segment, and they opened a door, and there's the Ascension psyching each other up by yelling a lot, getting getting themselves all psyched up and riled up. It wasn't much, but I felt like I learned more about who they are than anything they've done with those corny little inset promos that they did for a while last year or just coming to the ring. It doesn't have me excited about their gimmick or them, but it accentuates my point that tag teams don't get much time to establish their character. Now, another point I want to make based on what you said, Kevin Owens was brilliant on his way to the ring earlier in the show. He said he was talking, he walked out after there was some back and forth with Jinder and Orton, and he started getting cheered when he said, nobody cares about these House of Horrors, the House of Horrors match, or India. He started cheering, and he goes, hey, don't get excited. Nobody cares about England either. And it shut the crowd up. Owens was great
so
in that moment. Yes, and I don't know if that was scripted or thinking on his feet. My guess is he was thinking on his feet and just decided to say it. That's being a heel. And I think the Usos, bringing this full circle, if, as they're saying, 12 days, if the crowd is chanting along with it, I'd like to see them look at the crowd and say, you know, basically lash out at them for daring to repeat their words and sound irritated by it, as opposed to seeming like they in any way are happy that they got the fans to chant along with them.
And I agree. I just think they were deliberately trying to get the crowd to chant along, which is a shame, because I thought the first half of that promo before they got to chant along time was really good. And they can be really strong on the mic. Yeah. So I just didn't think you needed that. I mean, I just think that, again, I just don't think heel should be getting this is awesome chance, getting crowds to kind of like sing along with them. It's they should be trying to get the crowd against them in order to build up the babyface opponent. It just seems classic. But, you know, it's good to see some of the tag team development going on. Hopefully when they're back in the States next week, it'll be a better show. But I just thought tonight overall just,
hey, Mike,
that's the feeling of left me with.
I want to direct people to check out your columns for PWTorch.com. You're a contributor. You do the Creative Corner column. You wrote about what does the future hold for the current batch of NXT call-ups with Shinsuke Nakamura at the top of the list, The Revival, The Drifter, Ty Dillinger. People can check that out over at PWTorch.com. Just choose the specialist drop-down menu and go to the Creative Corner. That is among
would be brilliant. Thank you.
Several columns, absolutely. Do you have another one planned that's in the works?
Yeah, I have one to email you right now, and another one to write over the next couple of days. So,
cool. Well, look for that out there.
Thank you, Wade.
Absolutely, Mike. Always good talking to you.
Have a great night.
Excellent. That's Mike Snoodian from Boston, and he also wrote Why Stephanie McMahon Is Not What's Best for Business. He talked about Jinder Mahal, the backlash against Jinder Mahal, and how number one contenders should be determined in pro wrestling also. So check out his work there. All right, well, we went along with Mike, but as a contributor to PW Torch, I do not feel bad at all spending a little extra time getting his viewpoints on things. When we come back, we will take more phone calls. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. You could be next. And if you're not on hold, give us a call, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out PW Torch Livecast t-shirts and maybe order yourself one. It's good to wear a shirt. There's some stores where they won't serve you unless you're wearing a shirt. So if you're going to wear a shirt, why not make it a PW Torch Livecast shirt? Go to pwtorchtees.com. That's pwtorchtees.com. I was about to go to Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee. He just dropped off. Kenny, call back. We'll take your call. We got an email, too, by the way, on this very topic. Coincidentally, it was sent in before Mike from Boston called. He said, "Poor Sami Zayn. To the degree wrestling can, it makes me sad to see the way that Zayn has to act neurotic. He's better than that." I know. He's still in the main event, but ugh. That's Jeff from Colorado. You can send emails to this show, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com if you want to contribute to the show, but do not have the ability to contribute by telephone. Maybe you're at work or someone's sleeping in the other room. Who knows why? You can email us also. But our phone number, 515-605-9345. Let's go next to an old friend we haven't heard from in a while, Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, welcome to the livecast.
Thank you, Wade. Nice to hear your voice again. How are you?
Good, thanks. How have you been doing?
It's been a tough last about 6 weeks, but I'm doing great now.
Good, good. We're glad to hear it. I appreciate you updating us and calling us when you were able to.
I'm glad to be back with you.
Excellent. Well, did you see SmackDown tonight, Kylan?
I certainly did.
What'd you think?
Standard fare.
Yeah.
My first question concerns the Eric Rowan Luke Harper match. About 2.5 to 3 years ago, and even as far as, or even as short as about 8 months ago, most of us thought Luke Harper would be somewhat of a star. Now, should we be concerned that Luke Harper might be on the chopping block for the annual spring summer roster cleaning list after that match, because WWE has no more plans for him? Question number one.
Well, I you can't help but see Eric Rowan beat anybody and be worried about the person he beats, because Eric Rowan, Kylan, does not typically get a big push. And so, yeah, that jumped out to me. I thought it did feel a bit like a blow-off to a feud, but it wasn't really a feud. They put the match out there. They didn't really they didn't underline it. They didn't hype it. They didn't give promo time to anybody. It just sort of happened. Now, I will say that if they were trying to bury Luke Harper and he was going to be on the chopping block, they probably would not have done the finish that they did, because Eric Rowan needed he had the sheet mask as a distraction as a ref turned his back. Then Harper, Rowan used an eye poke to get the win. So that makes me think they just look at this as a mid-card feud, and they just wanted to have put Eric Rowan over. I don't really know if this means if it's worse for Harper or better for Rowan or neither. I wouldn't be surprised 2 weeks from now to see them in a meaningless rematch just to fill 6 minutes of TV time again.
Yeah, that's possible. My second question is on the SmackDown Women's Division. If Charlotte does not, if Charlotte does not gain the women's title from Naomi, do you see WWE going with Natalya after her victory over Becky Lynch today? Because Natalya is kind of the unsung person of the entire scope of the women's division on both sides as of late.
I don't, Catelyn, you'll know this right off. I don't think Natalya's ever held the women's title, has she?
At one point she did, but it was a very long time ago.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Natalya comes across as, she's getting an opportunity now to be a centerpiece heel in terms of storyline. She gets to talk a lot. She gets to, be the center. She's kind of carrying the heel side because Carmella and Ellsworth, they can do mic work, but credibility-wise, Natalya has more credibility. And Tamina's still new and kind of developing her act. So Natalya suddenly finds herself as a centerpiece heel on the brand. I think she could use the title reign to give herself some extra credibility. She certainly had it in NXT when she was at the top of cards. I think she can do that. She's been treated as a joke at times. The flatulent gimmick and all kinds of things they've done to make fun of her. I'd like to see her get a title reign and actually have them kind of put her over the way they put Sasha Banks over last night, where she just gets a win or two, where she starts getting treated as the veteran, the dominant veteran wrestler on SmackDown. Now, this is if they keep Charlotte babyface so that Charlotte and Natalya can have a feud where it seems like Natalya is in Charlotte's league and Charlotte beating her would be an accomplishment. What you don't want is to turn Charlotte babyface and her first feud be against somebody that fans don't perceive as being a top-level opponent. Also, they have chemistry together. Charlotte said the opponent she gives most credit to for bringing her along as a worker and teaching her the business is Natalya. There's a real-life respect between them. They can play off of that history, and I think that they can produce good matches. I'd like to see Natalya get a run with the SmackDown Women's title. I think that she, I don't mean like a gold watch, she's earned it in that way. I just think she'd be a good champion. And I also think when you look at the depth chart for the women roster on SmackDown, you need to build up somebody as a strong top heel. If they don't turn Charlotte back heel, you need to make Charlotte seem strong.
Absolutely. You need to make Natalya seem strong.
Yeah.
And final question, in all seriousness here, as good as I thought Jinder Mahal's promo was today, do you seriously believe that Vince McMahon will go the whole JBL route and have Jinder defeat Randy Orton next Sunday, or is he reeling us in and reeling us in and reeling us in, and then pulling us back by having Randy Wynn just to kind of shock us and say, you knew I wasn't going to do that. I just have to try to build somebody new up so you don't complain.
Well, let's look at this. If Randy keeps the title, who's next? Who's next for Randy? Like, they could do Kevin Owens for the championship, especially if AJ Styles wins the U.S. title. They could do that. But there's not a lot of single-star heel depth on the roster other than Rusev, who's already demanding a title shot. If Jinder wins the title, what I worry about is, yes, I like you saying the JBL route, you know, the kind of mid-card heel out of nowhere who suddenly, you know, catches Vince McMahon's eye, the roster's depleted, and they give him a push, you know, a full-fledged push. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't think they think Jinder is ready for that yet. So if Jinder does beat Randy, I think it's a transition just to move, say, AJ Styles as a babyface into the world championship spot again. I don't think Jinder would be full-on JBL as a long-term champion. I think it would be more transitional. So I think there's a possibility of that. I mean, I'm not even against having Jinder win and then Shinsuke beat Jinder for the title at a, you know, maybe SummerSlam, and just go with Shinsuke all the way. Don't have Shinsuke hang around the mid card for 6 months before he starts getting title shots. I'm not against shooting him to the top and having him be this phenomenon who just came into SmackDown and took over with strong style as a babyface, and have Kevin Owens, you know, especially chase him down and go after him, and Rusev too. I would really look forward to Rusev Shinsuke matches. So I think you can make it work either way, but I think Jinder Kylan would end up being a transitional champion.
Exactly what I was thinking. I kind of like your idea. So if they go through with this, I'm kind of hoping somebody there was listening to the show, or maybe I could put in a couple phone calls and try to have them do your idea.
Well, Kylan, great minds think alike, don't they?
They do. They do.
All right. Hey, Kylan, sincerely, it's good to hear your voice. And I'm glad that that you're able to call into the show, and hopefully things stay positive.
I'm back now as a regular, so you'll hear my voice often again. That's a promise.
Thanks, Kylan. Appreciate it. Take care now.
I will. Thanks, Wade.
You bet. All right, Kylan from New Jersey. We're going to go to one more break here, and when we come back, Kenny is back. If you want to join us on the show, you've got to push 1 on your touchtone phone. Otherwise, you show up in the background. So if you want to be on the show, push 1 on your touchtone phone, and we'll get to more calls right after this break. Kenny's up first, and I think we got someone from Australia calling us after that. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. Don't forget to check out pwpodcasts.com and check out some quotes from wrestlers, some news-making quotes, fascinating quotes on today's scene and the past, every single day at pwpodcast.com. Andrew Socek, who's helping out a lot with that site, is going to be my guest on tomorrow's livecast. So join us live at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific for the midweek flagship on Wednesday, May 10th. And then Thursday, Interview Thursday, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, joins me for 1 hour from 1 to 2 Eastern, 10 to 11 Pacific. And then Thursday night, as soon as Impact goes off the air on Pop TV, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek are on the air. And then Friday night, Primetime Friday, the Primetime Friday edition of the livecast with Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan. Tune in at 7 Eastern for that program, and that will round out the 6 shows from Monday through Friday that we feature every week here on the livecast. If you missed it last week, Seth Mates was my guest on the PW Torch livecast Interview Thursday. It was an interview from the vault from years ago, and we got some great feedback on it. Many of you did not hear it originally over 5 years ago when it originally took place. It was a fascinating look at the transition time between the Attitude Era and the John Cena Era. And Seth Mates was right there on the creative team for that transitionary period. Some amazing insights and behind-the-scenes stories on a pivotal time in WWE history. I selected that for a reason for our occasional Vault edition of, from the Vault edition of the PW Torch Livecast Interview Thursday. So check that out if you missed it. All right, let's go to Kenny and then Jason from Australia right afterwards. So two good reasons to stay tuned here as we march forward on the post-SmackDown edition of the livecast. Kenny, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade, can you hear me all right?
I sure can. Yep. What do you think of SmackDown tonight?
All right. Well, the one thing that I really got as far as what I got to be able to observe tonight is they haven't really messed up the push of Jinder Mahal in terms of him being elevated in certain way, and the fact that he now beat Randy Orton, the indication that saying that, hey, you know, we're actually going to be serious with this. It's almost like they're saying, hey, we're actually going to be serious with this Jinder Mahal push. Did you feel like that you got that same vibe when you watched it tonight?
Your phone connection wasn't great for a little part of that, Kenny. I apologize for that. Just restate the gist of who you're talking about, and it'll probably fall into place for me.
Okay, just basically, I mean, are you in a way glad that they're staying level-headed with the push of Jinder Mahal and not treating this as like a joke? Like, let's say Randy Orton comes out, it's the RKO and the tag team match and wins. The fact that he beat Orton, preparing for his match against Backlash.
Sure thing.
Is what
okay.
I'm saying. Are you glad that, yeah.
Yeah, there were a few words were muffled, and I wasn't sure which way you're going with that. So now it fell in place. Yeah, I mean, I'm not down on the push of Jinder Mahal. I'm open minded to it. I thought tonight he came across like he had a bad cold. His speaking was very monotone and strained. I hope he can do better than that typically. But I'm just assuming, you know, he was hoarse or was suffering from a cold or something. I mean, he wasn't bedridden or anything like that, but he certainly didn't sound great. He has to do better than that on the microphone if he's going to be a top-tier main event heel in 2017. I'm not crazy about, you know, I will cleanse your ignorance with my greatness. I would prefer to just have him be a heel because he's along the lines of the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. He's a rich, privileged snob who was born on third and thinks he hit a triple. And I think you can make that work without having him being from India be what is the primary thing you think of when you think of what WWE has him framed as a character. I'd rather have Jinder's ethnicity just be happenstance and not, I mean, WWE, they can't, pro wrestling promoters in general, they can't resist, but just resist. Just make Jinder a privileged, rich brat who's arrogant and conceited, full of himself, all those things. I mean, to me, that would work better than talking about their ignorance and their bias against his skin tone and all that. So I want to see it. But to your specific point, Kenny, I think that they are treating him like they're giving him, as Kylan said, a JBL-like push. He's getting wins. If you're going to have somebody like him sort of out of nowhere become a top contender for a title, for a world title, you have to give him a win over the champion in a non-title match. We don't have to, but you ought to. It gives him a little extra credibility. That said, it's sort of formulaic, and considering the circumstances, kind of coming up behind him, it might have seemed kind of like a fluke. In some ways, I'd rather just have. I think it would have suited Jinder Mahal more to like plow through, say, Mojo Rawley on today's show, and just be dominant, and look really aggressive. I think that would do more. They could do it next week. Still, they got time, but I think it does more for Jinder to get a dominant win over a mid-card babyface than it did to pin the champion, when it sort of seems like a fluke. Well, he came up behind Randy. That said, I'm sure in their mind they're thinking it put over his finisher. And that Cobra Slam, I mean, Orton looked like he got dropped from a 100-story building the way he sold that thing. So I'm not against it. I'm just saying along the way, I think showing Jinder just dominating and being ruthless in the ring and being a good athlete, you know, not so much that you like him, but enough that you respect him, would work a lot towards their cause also. Kenny, any follow-up?
Oh, I disagree with what you just said 100% in regards to the JBL comparison. I just hope he don't turn out to be as big of a bully as JBL is in the locker room.
Right, yes.
And that's really all I got to say on that. You guys have a good rest of the night.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate you calling. All right, our number 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. And when you call, as always, push 1 on your Touchstone phone to move into the caller queue. Otherwise, you are in the background. Let's go next to Jason from Australia. Jason, welcome back to the live cast. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Wade. With Jinder, listen, if they give him the championship, ratings aren't really going to go down, you don't think. They're not going to really lose any subscribers from the network. So why not go all in and just give him the championship? I mean, if you had to make the call on that day and Vince come to you and said, all right, put your hands up if you think we should go with Jinder, would you, and you had to make a yes or no response right there and then, what would you say?
I don't think it's that easy, Jason, in the sense that I think it has to be, that decision has to be made in the context of what other things Vince is willing to do. If Vince says, I want to put Jinder over Randy, but it's to set up AJ or Shinsuke getting a title win by either at or before SummerSlam, I'd greenlight it. But if it's to go with Jinder as a heel centerpiece champion, I haven't seen enough to make me... I'm not saying it can't work. I just haven't seen enough here on May 9th to say, yeah, Jinder's a guy that I would give a world title run to, that I've seen enough from him that I'm not wasting a world title run card on an unproven guy. And Jinder Mahal at this level is unproven. And I don't think tonight did a lot for me, you know, in terms of his mic work. I think he's okay. He's okay. He's not jumping off the screen, oh, get off my TV. I don't want to, you know, you don't belong in WWE. But he hasn't won me over yet either, so I'm still in that holding pattern. So my inclination is, if it's a transitionary move, I'd greenlight it. I'm fine with it. If it's a way to give a decisive, clean world title win to AJ or Shinsuke to start a long-term title run, I don't. From what I've seen right now on May, as of May 9th, I don't think you can do a long-term run with him without taking a risk.
Do you think that Vince is strategically trying to build up the U.S. title scene with the likes of AJ and Kevin because he feels a little bit more confident with them? He's also got the Universal title on Raw with Brock Lesnar. So it's not like he's putting all his eggs into the Jinder Mahal basket as far as representing WWE with one champion, because you've got the Universal title on Brock. He feels confident with that, building up that U.S. title scene, trying to do something with the IC title. I'm just saying, I'm thinking they're going to go all in with him. I think they want to create a bit of like a talking point, a bit of shock. And I don't know, that to me, that wouldn't boost him up like this if they weren't going to put the title on him. So to me, it's not going to be a surprise if they put him over.
I'll say this. I would rather have Rusev get a run with the title than Jinder, based on what I've seen from both. But Rusev's been damaged and they'd have to rehab him. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm totally down on Jinder, because in 3 weeks I might be endorsing him. But we're just so early in this run, I just am not convinced you play that card. Now, you said at the top of the call, you know, it's not going to hurt ratings or network subs. And to a degree, you're right, because it's not, you know, Bruce Mitchell and I talked about this in the Bruce Mitchell audio show this past weekend. It's not a business for WWE anymore, where what they do this week changes dramatically how many tickets they sell to the next big arena show or X number of pay-per-view buys. There's a certain... The revenue is baked in a little bit more with TV rights fees, with how far in advance people buy tickets to shows, and the fact that there are network subscribers who aren't going to bother to cancel just to renew in August in time for SummerSlam. They're just going to let it roll over because it's only $10 a month. And I get that. But that said, WWE's got to be careful that they don't take advantage of that too much, where people start feeling as if, well, they're not even trying 2 out of 3 months, or they're giving me things I don't care about so often that I'm not that into the product. And after 2 months goes by and you're not logging into WWE Network, but you see it showing up on your bill, you're going to say, maybe I'm more apt to cancel. And some people will. But if they're really excited about what they're seeing on SmackDown, because Shinsuke or AJ is the champion and they're all in and they're the centerpiece and they're defending against Rusev and Jinder and Kevin Owens, and you get people excited about the product, they're less likely to cancel and you're going to get more people to sign up. It's less tangible and direct. But Jason, it's dangerous to start saying it's not going to hurt ratings or network subs if we do this. I think you have to do things as if you're trying to draw money and you're office lease depends on earning that revenue, not to the point that you hotshot and make bad rush decisions. You have to be measured and smart, but you can't start taking gambles on guys who haven't proven themselves at the highest level just because you think the metrics won't move as a result.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but I also agree with what Bruce is saying, is that they're sort of in a really situation as far as if you want to go back to how other promotions, say back in the 70s and the 80s, right, to promote what was coming up in order to sell tickets. But WWE, and credit to them as a business, they're in the enviable situation where at this point in time, it doesn't really matter who they're putting on there. The brand is so strong that they're going to sell out. I mean, they're in a great position. But like you said, you don't want to fall back on that too often because it could come back and bite you. But I think we're seeing a lot of fans right now who are just holding on to the WWE Network, like myself. And, you know, it doesn't cost me $10 because of the conversion rate. It actually cost me $15, so I'm paying $5 more. Mm-hmm. But I got the attitude like, well, if I cancel this month, then I might miss something and I can't be bothered signing up again, so I just let it roll over. And I reckon a lot of people are like that with me. So they're sort of, you know, they're doing a good thing as far as business is concerned in that sense. But a couple of other points. You know, if I'm Sami Zayn and the writers are giving me this character, surely you got to talk to Bret Hart about this, because I read Bret Hart's book and he was a thinker and he saw things and he didn't like the way things were happening. Like, he would take control of his character and make sure, okay, what have you got planned for me 2-3 feuds down the line? If I'm Sami Zayn, I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell am I going to make money with a stupid character like this, which is pretty much portraying me as a very unlikable type of person that people get annoyed with? Where is the money in this character? I mean, that's just a character you don't want to portray, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's got to stand up for himself here, because this is not a lovable loser. This is just like annoying, and no one likes annoying.
I think about it a lot, Jason. How different, you know? I mean, I cover this full time and haven't stepped away at all and then stepped back and noticed change. It's like, you know, a kid growing up. The relatives who don't see the kid very often can't believe how big he's gotten. But if you're there every day, you don't notice it, you know, because it just happens before your very eyes. The way this business has changed is pretty dramatic if you go back, you know, 15 years and then look at where it is now in terms of what you just described. The Bret Hart era versus this current era, in terms of wrestlers feeling like they can speak out, that WWE has done such an effective job with very few exceptions, making their business model and their creative model built around the brand and your expectations for the brand. It's, you know, that Breezango are spoofing the Law & Order series. Law & Order as a franchise had a lot of interchangeable parts. I mean, you know, there's a few iconic detectives and police officers in that series, but a lot of times, one season to the next, there'd be men and women replaced as, quote, main characters, one of the main four or five people on the show, and it just wasn't a big deal because people tuned in for the formula, for the procedural, for the music, the brand. And I think WWE and the McMahons dream of that, because Vince McMahon is a product of his history. He's a product of this industry's history, but he's a product of history in the sense that promoters never liked when wrestlers gained too much power. And, I mean, Vern Gagne was his own champion for a reason. One, he was a draw, but two, he didn't have to worry about whether Crusher was going to walk out on him because Crusher wanted a bigger cut. Greg Gagne is still exasperated.
Hey, sorry, Wade.
Yeah.
Wade, can I just say, just to back up your point there, didn't Stone, remember Steve Austin has talked about that, how Vince said to him in passing, you never let a wrestler know how much he's worth. Remember he made that comment?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and I mean, Vince has faced it. I mean, Vincent, Greg Gagne, and you know, was exasperated with Hulk Hogan and the leverage that Hogan wanted to exert over the AWA. Vince McMahon dealt with it with Hulk Hogan himself later, Ultimate Warrior later, Bret Hart, many times Shawn Michaels. He watched Hall and Nash leave and change the course of the industry in the mid-90s over because he didn't want to meet the WCW offer. I mean, Vince McMahon is a product of his history. And his history is headaches are created when one or two or three people have a lot of leverage over him. And he wants that taken away. And so Sami Zayn is now in an environment that by design is set up to take leverage away from anybody other than a John Cena, Brock Lesnar level talent. Even Randy Orton is rather interchangeable at this point, and I think he knows it, and that's why he kind of seems like he's just phoning it in week after week, because he knows he's got value, but he's just he knows he doesn't have a lot of say-so either.
But you know what? Let me put it this way. If I was running the business, and if you were running it like that, wouldn't you enjoy being in that situation where you know that your brand is stronger than any personality? I mean, if your business is going to go down because you lose one piece of talent, and that you'd be worried about that. But if you built a strong enough brand where even if you lose the talent, you're still strong, if I'm in Vince's position, as bad as that might sound to the individual talent, I kind of like having that power.
Well, right. I'm not even being critical of it in a general sense through the lens of Vince McMahon. I mean, I'm just sort of stating it factually. I'm not really judging it. He's got his perspective on things. And what makes it's his company and he wants to run it his way, and if he can get away with it, I'm just saying he's got the power to get away with it now in a way that he never has before, and I think it is deliberate. Part of that is what we talked about with the network numbers and the TV ratings, the TV revenue, excuse me, being locked in for a couple more years. I don't think he feels like any one person is going to change the course of things. Sami Zayn, therefore, going full circle, Jason, to your point, doesn't have much leverage. I mean, he just, what's he going to do? They're going to say, well, okay, thanks, Sammy. We appreciate your feedback. And now we're going to give more TV time to these five eager people who we think will not bother us with such complaints. We know what we're doing. Be happy to collect your paycheck. Trust us. There's a good chance it'll work out. And if it doesn't, and your idea was better, so be it. It won't affect us that greatly. And I mean, that's the leverage promoters have over talent now.
It's an interesting situation. I just really enjoyed Brett's whole philosophy. I mean, yeah, people say he might have taken himself a little bit too seriously, but, you know, I love reading that passage in his book where he talked about he was hoping that Vince would bring in a Steve Austin from WCW on Vader, and he would hope that these heels would get built up because he was always thinking two, three feuds down the track. And even CM Punk in his interview, I think, took a leaf out of Brett's book when he spoke to Colt Cabana. He was talking about, you know, who's he got coming up down the track? You know, I don't want to know about, you know, next month. I want to know 2, 3, 4 months down the track. How am I going to keep my character going? So I just wish there was more guys like that in wrestling who actually looked ahead and you know, and took ownership of their character and their money. And just one other point, you know, Money in the Bank, right? So that's a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. Geez, I mean, of all the pay-per-views, they've done a really good job of Money in the Bank. You'd think that would be both Raw and SmackDown. I mean, if that was me, I would move the Survivor Series to a brand-exclusive pay-per-view so you don't have to put guys who are feuding with each other onto the same team just for some stupid Raw versus SmackDown thing, and actually go with, you know, two Money in the Bank matches for Raw and SmackDown, because of all the type of events that have built up a bit of equity over the years, it's definitely been Money in the Bank. So I'm surprised they're only going one brand for that.
Would you put wrestlers from both brands in the Money in the Bank match, or have two Money in the Bank matches?
No, definitely have two. Have the SmackDown one and the Raw one, and Survivor Series. I think that came at a, like we said last year, came at a really bad time. You had guys that were feuding with each other on the same team. All of a sudden, they were buddy buddy. It did a lot of damage to American Alpha to be laughing with the Usos after they try to, you know, take out, Chad Gable. No, I don't like that concept. But Money in the Bank, they're on a winner there. You have your SmackDown, you have your Raw. And I think people would be excited by that.
Yeah, I guess given the situation as it exists, I wouldn't mind seeing Money in the Bank rotate every other year at the very least and have next summer it be a Raw show, a Raw pay-per-view, and then the year after, SmackDown again. At least then you're not making that pay-per-view gimmick exclusively to one brand, and then you just take turns on which brand has, you know, the person run around with a briefcase. But I get what you're saying, Jason, and I think people would look forward to seeing the briefcase land on both brands. You know, different briefcases on each brand.
Mm.
Appreciate it, Jason. Always good talking to you.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd.
You bet. All right, let's go to our final break, and when we come back, we'll go to Sean in Chicago up next. So hold tight, Sean.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at RingRustRadio and email us at RingRustRadio@yahoo.com.
All right, welcome back to the live cast. I'm Wade Keller. This is the post-SmackDown edition of the PW Torch live cast. Be sure to be checking out pwtorch.com every day for my reports on Raw and SmackDown. I cover the shows as they happen. By the end of the show, you can read everything that I recapped about the show and analysis on many of the key segments. Same thing with Sunday pay-per-views. Also, breakdown of the Raw ratings earlier today. We had SmackDown spoilers up in the afternoon, Raw spoilers yesterday, because the shows tonight and last night were taped in London. And in those spoilers, which if you didn't want to read them as spoilers, you can read them now, because they provide some insight into what happened in the arena and how the crowd reacted to different segments also. But also, we've got specialist columns. We have the weekly Monday night Reignsometer, tracking Roman Reigns' ability to beat the odds and come out on top. How did he do this week? Check out Tom Kalahu's article on Roman Reigns. It's week 17 of the Monday night Reignsometer. Also, the ROH hits and misses. Cody Rhodes, Adam Cole, Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, Christopher Daniels, the Young Bucks, and more. Were they on the hit or miss side of the ROH ledger this week? Also, a couple days ago, I put up a 20 years ago report on Raw showing signs of life in the Monday Night War with Nitro, along with analysis of whether WWF could sustain the momentum. And also a 10 years ago house show report, Binghamton, New York, with CM Punk, Batista, RVD, Kane, Mr. Kennedy, the Boogeyman. So a real wide array of features, live event reports. NXT's been on the domestic side while WWE's been overseas. If you do attend a live event anywhere in the world for any wrestling company, you can send results, and I encourage you to do so, to pwtorch@gmail.com. That's pwtorch@gmail.com. And we really appreciate correspondents who send in as many details as you can, either straight results or some thoughts on each of the matches and descriptions of what happened, to pwtorch@gmail.com. All right, now we go to Sean in Chicago. You're up next. Sean, thanks for holding. What's on your mind tonight? Follow me, SmackDown.
Hey, I didn't get to see SmackDown, but from what I heard, it wasn't really that great of a show. They haven't been doing too bad lately, so I didn't see it. I'll probably catch it on something later. But I had a few things, as always. Sorry, I always have a laundry list. I heard you talking about the current UFC card, and, you know, they're suffering from some of the same things that the WWE was, with the belts not meaning anything because they had, you know, all of these interim belts and just not elevating enough guys. You know, that Reebok contract really hurt them a lot. Whether it's good or bad, it's just that a lot of their dirty laundry got out there. And I'm hoping they could maybe even learn some things from WWE and kind of ramp it up. I'm looking forward to this card, though.
I'll tie this in. You know, Stipe Miocic is the champion, and you never I don't say never, but you almost never hear his name or see him be promoted by UFC. I think that UFC does a lousy job spending months and months making you feel like UFC as a brand has all of these top stars. Other leagues do a pretty good job of it. I mean, you know in the NBA, LeBron James, and you know Sidney Crosby,
Steph Curry.
You know Ovechkin, Steph Curry in the NBA, the top quarterbacks and wide receivers and safeties in the NFL. And in UFC, they don't do a good job of establishing who the stars are. And then they deliver a show like this, and I think they've gotten used to Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, George St. Pierre, these established big names, and now the Diaz brothers sell themselves. Or you can sell a fight with 3, 4, 5 weeks of hype. But you get a card like this one, which is loaded. It's a good card. But have they told that audience, they've got that 200,000-300,000 people who are hardcore, they're going to buy. You got that next 200,000-300,000 who maybe make it into a successful card but not a blockbuster. And then you get to 1 million-plus with Conor and Ronda. Why not do more to teach us who Damian Maia is when he's not on a fight card? Why not do more to get the women over and establish who they are? What has JDS Junior Dos Santos been up to? He's just this name from the past who's showing up again. UFC does
I thought he was actually done.
Yes, exactly. That's my thing. They don't do a good job. They'll show you the top 10 rankings, which is a step forward, by the way. They weren't doing that a few years ago. They'll actually show the top 10 rankings and the top contenders. But their philosophy is, if it's not on the horizon on one of the next 2-3 shows we're promoting, we don't talk about them. Because these fighters are independent contractors, and they don't want to give them extra leverage. But Or they don't think about it because they've been able to succeed this way. But a show like this with a bunch of upper mid-card to mid-card level draws, I'm not talking about their talent, but as drawing cards, it really jumps out that they do a terrible job when they have a big audience establishing some of the personalities and fight styles and the storyline, the journey that these fighters are on. And when you look at this lineup, the fans who know MMA know this is a good card. And it's it's the best of the year in terms of depth. But it's disappointing that UFC doesn't get the casual fans who are kind of might not even, you know, they look at the lineup and they go, I can save $55-60 and not buy this. They should have been spending the last 3 months getting people ready for the next Junior Dos Santos fight and making us care about him.
I really think it's the roster depth too, because they can literally put anyone in there, and that's an advantage the WWE doesn't have. They just can't put anyone in there because they actually have to speak also. But with the UFC, they can, like you say, they've been succeeding so long with just throwing guys in that they can do that. Like Cody Garbrandt, like he didn't really tell much of a story. He was just knocking guys out and he threw them in, and now they can just, oh, well, we don't need to know who the guys are. Just put them out there because we're talent rich. And they don't elevate any guys at all. The WWE is starting to do that since after WrestleMania. And I think it's because this is more of a changing of the guard. Vince isn't going to be around forever. And, you know, NXT, the way they do things, the way they book, is starting to show a lot more in WWE. And I think eventually it'll turn into that, which would be great. But, you know, it's still Vince's company, and that's understandable. But
Sean, let me tie this into SmackDown a little bit. Because imagine if UFC did for any number of people on this show what they have done for Shinsuke Nakamura. In that, if they treated their heavyweight champion like WWE is treating Shinsuke right now, with vignettes, talking about his history. I mean, granted, they don't have WWE isn't showing all the New Japan footage. I mean, imagine if they did, it'd be even better. But they're treating him like a star. Yeah. They're making it seem like a big deal. Had UFC been putting footage of Miocic on their pay-per-views on a regular basis in their FS1 specials and, heck, their Fight Pass cards, and had a countdown clock till the heavyweight champ returns, it would create this sense of anticipation that it's an event, and they just kind of, it's like they don't see more than the car in front of them in traffic. They're never looking like 3-4 cars ahead, and it does limit them. Where WWE, I give them credit, they've decided they want Shinsuke to be special, and I'm not saying they've been perfect in executing it, but you can tell that's their goal, and the music videos are building it up. Heck, even Lana doing the dance and New Day taking some time off and then coming back, it builds anticipation, and UFC just does a lousy job with that.
Yeah, they do. I don't even know when this is, actually. I don't even know when the next pay-per-view is. I'm assuming it's the 13th because there's so many things going on the 13th. I'm thinking it has to be the 13th.
Go check out MMATorch.com. We got a whole preview up, and it is scheduled for Saturday.
I did go through the Torch Amazon when I had to go order something today. So
thank you.
That's a nod to you guys because I'm not even going to go VIP yet, but I will. You're winning me over every week. But yeah, a few points about just people's mic work and who's not over. Like, it's weird. Bron was that big guy that they introduced in the Wyatt family that we all saw and say he'll never talk, and now he's getting more mic time than Roman Reigns ever did. And, you know, and it is a great thing to me, but I think the writing's on the wall for Roman. I think it's all the way they're pushing Seth, the way they're pushing Finn Balor, even the way they push The Miz. They can pull the trigger and say, if you don't get over after WrestleMania or before WrestleMania when you go up against Brock, we're flipping you and you're not going to have a choice. I don't think Vince McMahon is stupid enough to run with this guy forever. I think he's kind of tired of it. I just feel like all the booking is not just to elevate other guys, but the guys who haven't been doing much, to just kind of put them out there and let them sink or float. I've been hearing some things about Sami Zayn, too. I think he's just the Cubs. I think he's going to be a loser, the lovable loser, like you said, for a lot of years, and he's going to get his comeuppance. I don't know, at a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam against Kevin Owens. I know that's the story they want to tell with him. They want him to be a constant loser for a while and beat Kevin Owens finally, but I just don't know if it'll last.
You want people rooting for him, and I'm not sure that this character is going to lead to people rooting for him. It's going to lead to people pitying him because he's so unself-aware of the way that he acts. I'm trying to think of the name of the guy who from Survivor. His name is escaping me. That did a guest spot on one episode this year, but he's reminding me of him too. If I can't think of his name, I probably shouldn't be saying it. But anyway,
Go ahead. My last point was I just think that with Rusev, I think they're going to do something kind of big. I think they're going to tie him in with Jinder Mahal. That'll give him both of those guys some pretty good credibility. But I think Rusev might actually be the guy to come and challenge Jinder or even Randy Orton after Backlash. And I think Nakamura may take the title from him. Although I don't see that coming over on the mic because you got two guys that don't talk a lot. So yeah. I don't know how that'd work. But as far as a match goes, I see that as the match. That's kind of like a Kevin Owens and almost like a AJ Styles almost. Not saying style, but, you know, super, super athletic contrasting guys.
Yeah, yeah. All right, cool. Sean, appreciate the call. Yeah. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Thanks. Hopefully you'll go VIP one of these days. I'll win you over. It'll be a big week when we do.
Oh, I will.
All right, thanks for going to Amazon. Amazon, you can support us when you shop Amazon by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon. Cochran is who I was thinking of, John Cochran. If you look up a clip of him, you might see some similarities between him and the character Sammy's playing. I think he's kind of a hybrid of a number of people that have been mentioned, George Costanza. But anyway, we got Brian from Peoria, Illinois, just emailed. Why do they insist on making Sami Zayn out to be such a stooge in these backstage segments? I know he supposedly has that reputation backstage, but it's such a jarring departure from his earnest and sincere character we're used to seeing and have gotten behind. It's a shame to see one of the most talented babyface talkers they have, in my opinion, reduced to that role for the second time now. They have to realize this is harmful, right? Well, I don't think they do. Brian also says, I've been intrigued by the stuff with women lately, especially with the apparent renewed focus on Becky Lynch, which has been nice to see. She has played her part well in the story, and once you know it, after being treated as a big deal for just a couple of weeks with some character development, has begun to get good reactions from the crowds again. Having said that, I think the sooner they move away from this 3-on-3 storyline, the better. Hopefully after the 6-woman tag match at Backlash, it's beginning to feel a bit like a Diva Revolution-esque turf war storyline, and less about each individual going after the championship. I suspect or hope they'll pair off into one-on-one feuds before so long, so that the waters become less muddied and all the female acts have room to breathe again. I also found it odd that Naomi had to introduce and endorse Becky before the match, as if she needed it. After all, Becky was the one who came out to make the save last week to the big reaction after teasing a big heel turn. Some good analysis there, Brian. Appreciate it. I think they will break off into one-on-one feuds. I think that they've hinted at where they're going with that, but it really does totally depend on Charlotte and whether they go babyface all the way with her or flip her back heel. And until then, we just don't know. All right. That'll do it for me. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to our callers and our emailers and our listeners. I'll be by tomorrow with Andrew Socek at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific. So join us live then. That's Wednesday, May 10th, the midweek flagship. And then next week on Wednesday, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will be back with me. So you can look forward to that. Sean Waltman this Thursday. And then Thursday night, right after Impact, it's Andrew Socek and Mike McMahon covering Impact as soon as it goes off the air. Join them live at pwtorchlivecast.com. You can click on the link to stream it live or participate in the show. And then Friday, Primetime Friday with Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PWTorch. Follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. And cover, be there live for us for our coverage of UFC 211 on Saturday night. A deep card, a good card. We've got a whole detailed fight preview, and we'll be covering it throughout the week, getting you warmed up and amped up for what is a good lineup. And we'll talk about the implications and ramifications of everything going on Saturday night. Then we'll have you covered live Saturday, and then a bunch of fallout Sunday and Monday, along with other features and flashbacks and editorials all week. So check it out. That's our sister site. If you're an MMA fan, be sure to make MMAtorch.com a part of your daily routine. Go check it out now. And PWPodcast.com, our newly revamped website, just relaunched last month. And our volunteers are doing such a great job covering all kinds of wrestling personality-hosted podcasts. I think you'll really like that website. If you haven't checked it out yet, it looks great on desktop, and it is also mobile-friendly. So log in, pwpodcasts.com. Find out what wrestlers are saying today. That will do it for me for today. Thank you again, everybody. And until next time, Wade Keller. Until tomorrow, Wade Keller signing off. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.